This is Bill Bronson and my trusty sidekick, Jeffrey Cooperstein.
Hello.
Hello. This is Squirrel Marketing, where we fill your brain with all kinds of useful things and some not so useful. Let's kick it off. Let's go. Well, cool. So we've got a new mic, not a new microphone. We set it up right.
Yes. So basically a new microphone.
Basically a new microphone. It's a Blue Yeti. It's cool.
So, what are you thinking about?
Well, the first episode we were talking a lot about the SWOT analysis, but we talked about what was marketing. And the second one, I kind of forgot we talked about a SWOT analysis, so we talked about the SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
And then we kind of added to it,
of course. So I guess you want to
Which is fine, but, you know, I was thinking about the SWOT analysis, and a lot of people are confused by how to do it. They can't really do it well, and so they may not do it at all, you know, if they don't fully understand it.
Right.
So what I did, and what I recommend that people do is Google it. I mean, just type it in the search engine, how to do a SWOT analysis, and look at examples.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and did a hypothetical one, like for an insurance person. And it was interesting. I actually reminded myself of some things. And so, like on the internal stuff, the strengths part, I put top contracts with major carriers, a good core group of management team, spirit of helping others, work ethic, we're friendly, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And weaknesses, we don't spend enough time planning, we don't follow the plans that we do make, we're inconsistent in our direction, lack of capital, you know, the office is in a bad part of town, that kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
Now, external opportunities and threats, I put, and this is all hypothetical.
Right.
But I put expanded retail opportunities, like with stores, maybe Kroger, HEB, CVS, whatever. New shopping center going in across town. So there may be some opportunities to get a storefront there. Medicare Supplement Plan F is going away. That may help us have a reason to reach out to the community and to help them replace it with something else or whatever. So these are, that's opportunity.
If you told John it was going away, he'd tell you it's not going away. It's only going away for people who haven't turned 65 before January, I believe, 1st of 2020.
That's if you want to nerd out.
I believe.
That's if you
want to... We're not nerding out?
We're not nerding out. Okay. We're using it as a reason to reach out to people. So these are... They're not necessarily gimmicks. They're... what do we call them? Moments. They're opportunity moments. There's things that happen that... compelling events is what you call it. Compelling events. So, for instance, like... if your doctor changes from Cigna to Humana, that's a compelling event that compels people to change. From Cigna to... But then they need
a special enrollment period for that, don't you? Or no?
That may qualify for a special enrollment period, yeah. I mean, if your doctor changes plans.
Yeah.
But anyway, so compelling event is what that is. And you could nerd out on it if you wanted to, or you could just use it as an excuse to reach out to people.
Yeah.
And I find that the most successful salespeople don't need much of an excuse.
At all, yeah.
To reach out to somebody.
Oh, no doubt.
But if it's a toe in the door, if it's just a pinky toe in the door.
That's all they need.
That's all you need.
Absolutely.
It cracks the door open a little bit, gives them a little bit of an excuse to say hi, to give somebody some free information or something. And that opens a conversation.
Gotcha.
So it's like an icebreaker. But finishing this example, SWOT analysis, on the threats part, I put something that is a huge problem right now, and that is that Walmart, one of our biggest retail opportunities, opened their own insurance company to compete with the people that they were partnering with.
Isn't that crazy?
I don't know that I would ever buy insurance from Walmart. But some people will. And so, yeah, that's a threat. I don't think that it'll go away. I don't think that they'll say, oh, this was a mistake. I think that these businesses like Walmart and especially Amazon and Google are, they're absorbing market share, going into other markets. We'll talk about alignment in strategy at some point. And they're going into horizontal markets. This is a horizontal situation for them. They're not, it's not going vertical.
Right.
I mean, because Walmart, vertical, it would be merchandising. It'd be...
No, they're just going straight in.
Tires.
Yeah. And,
no, they're just hopping to a different industry altogether and just stealing stuff, you know, basically. And I don't understand why a company would segment that far. I mean, Amazon started doing it, but Amazon never really did have a niche anyway, except they began with books, you know.
The Kindle.
Just past that,
yeah,
they quickly became a platform for every industry. So by becoming a platform for every industry, then they diversified their focus that way.
Right.
And then, of course, you know, then there's the old let's compete with everyone who's doing business with us and shut them down or buy them.
Essentially, yeah.
It's really crazy. But that's why Jeff Bezos is like probably the richest guy on the planet. So
it'd be nice to be him.
I don't know.
It'd be nice to have his money.
It would, yeah. I don't think I would be the kind of person who would want to go into every industry and strip mine it.
Yeah.
I'm not that kind of person.
No.
I want everyone. I actually like people around me to be successful.
Yeah.
I like to have friends who are successful at their thing that I don't have a part of. You know, and I like to be around people like that. I don't want to be the guy who shut everybody down and now I'm king of the world. That's just narcissistic. But so we talked about the SWOT analysis and we talked about a vision statement last time. And I was listening to it and I was thinking, you know, part of this that most people won't really understand what to do or how to do is to define their market. A lot of people, and we don't have to spend much time on this because defining your market is pretty simple. Who are you going to help?
What are you going to give them? Yeah.
With what? Yeah. And what are you going to give them? So don't be afraid to focus, though. I think a lot of people feel like they have to be a jack of all trades, and this comes from a lack mentality. And be very careful about making decisions based on a lack mentality. Because if you say, for instance, you know, like in the insurance business, I offer everything under the sun related to life and health insurance. Everything Medicare, everything health, dental, life, annuities. I'm a financial planner too. You know, what do you sell wedding dresses and manure as well? I mean, because seriously, there's two mindsets on this. One that I've heard, which is, offer everything because you don't want to send your clients to anybody else. And the other is specialize and let other people earn their living too. And I think there's a huge benefit to specializing while having access to other specialists under the same roof.
That's kind of what we're doing.
That's what we do here. And but we promote something different, which is weird. We promote that you have you'd be able to help everyone with anything they need. But what we actually practice is that we have specialists under the same roof.
Right.
So what I would tweak it, a little bit. I would like to tweak it a little bit. Is to say, recruit a variety of people who want to specialize in the things that you don't want to specialize in. Let you specialize in what you love. And have your team come in and help that client with things that they need. So that your agency provides a well-rounded service, but you have specialists who can focus. And I've seen that happen. I've seen that be very successful, you know. But you can be an expert in a variety of things, just not very many.
Yeah.
You know. So I don't think you can be a financial planner and be really good at Medicare Advantage.
No, absolutely.
But anyway, so what does that tell you? Do you want to go into that?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I basically the whole idea I had for this in general was me just shepherding the conversation and you being the expert dissecting.
Okay.
You know?
Give me a scalpel.
You need a scalpel. I can go find one real quick, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, all right. Well, with that in mind, I think the next basic thing to think about is the action plan. Because we talked about the vision. We talked about a SWOT analysis.
Yeah.
So you need the SWOT analysis so that you can analyze where you are now. But I think most people are more excited about thinking about the future.
How are we going to do it?
How are we going to do it? Yeah. So that's called an action plan. And typically, that's where you look at where you are now and where you want to go. And in between those two points, points A and B, that line that goes there, whether it's straight or wavy, that's what an action plan is. How do you get from point A to point B? And an acronym that I learned that's really interesting is called SMART.
SMART goals.
So your action plan has to be SMART. Your goals have to be SMART.
Yeah.
And that has a double meaning, of course. And they need to be based on intelligence. But they also need to be, as the acronym says, specific, measurable, actionable, okay. Actionable, reasonable, and time-bound.
Yeah.
So, for instance, specific. We will place Facebook ads. Measurable might be we will place two Facebook ads.
Yeah.
You know, actionable. We will place two Facebook ads with a large budget. You know, starting tomorrow. Reasonable, we will place two Facebook ads with a $500 a month budget. And then time bound, when you wrap it all together, Bob will place two Facebook ads, A and B, that we decided upon in the meetings, with a $500 a month budget beginning October 15th, evaluating effectiveness each Monday until December 15th. So, I mean, you go from Here's the action plan, and that's just a little small piece of it. But you've got to develop it to the point where you know exactly when it's going to start, who's going to do it, what kind of resources are you putting into it, all of it.
Yeah.
And so it takes time to do that, and it got me thinking. You know, a lot of people, they fail forward. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
And that's great. It's better than being stagnant and not doing anything.
Right, exactly.
But failing forward, a lot of that kind of means that you just put the effort in, the raw effort. You just do. And then you somehow make it.
Yep.
Well, that's kind of goofy. I mean, when you think about it, it's better than being stagnant, but it's a ship without a rudder. You've got no map. You've got no direction.
Yeah, you're kind of just experimenting. And you're not
steering. Right. And a lot of people do that, and they do it all the time, and they become a habitual, non-steering effort person. And I call that running towards income. And I did that for so many years. I did it. I was running towards income, I had no idea how to get there. I didn't know how much income it was going to be. All I knew was I was going to give it everything I got every single day, as much time as I can put into it.
Yeah.
And it caused me to be kind of a workaholic and even to kind of forsake my family.
Yeah.
And to be annoyed when I had to stop for dinner or that kind of thing.
Right.
Because I had no goals. I had no plan. All I knew was I was going to work as hard as possible perpetually. And that's really difficult over time. Wears you down. So I developed something when I was in the mortgage business. And I backed into my effort. I backed in to what effort it would take to make what I need to make. And I did that with math, because math doesn't lie, right? So I looked at it. What does it take for me to earn a dollar?
Right.
And so I determined it's, say, for instance, 10 appointments. I get 10 appointments for 100 calls. So my closing ratio on appointments is 10%.
Right.
And then I get 2 sales for every 10 appointments. That's a 20% closing ratio on sales to appointments. And then I knew I made $400 a sale, let's say. I made a whole lot more than that on mortgage, but for the sake of this. So if I know my goal for the month, let's say, is $8,000. And if I make $400 a sale, that's 20 sales. So 20 sales is 100 appointments. 100 appointments is 1,000 calls. So if you do the math, 1,000 calls divided by 20 working days is 50. That means I can make $8,000 a month based on the numbers. Now, these are numbers that you get from your actual numbers.
All right.
So you go back like 3 months and you calculate how many calls did you make each week.
How many sales, how many appointments, how much money was that?
You divide it all in, and you come up with this ratio, this formula. And then you put that formula in here, and you say, okay, based on what I just told you, I got to make 50 calls a day, 5 days a week. And based on the ratios, I'm going to make $8,000. So now you know, if you've made 60 calls today, or let's say 60 conversations, because I don't like calls. Those can be voicemail. But so now you know 50 is going to make you the money. So if you're at 60, you can stop for the day. You can go have dinner and play with your kids and wait for tomorrow and live your life.
Right.
So.
And if you think about it, you can do 50 calls kind of quick.
Well, 50 conversations takes all day.
Yes, you're right. Yes, absolutely.
But you're segmenting your goals, because the calls, you want one thing. You want the calls to turn into conversations.
Right.
So if someone answers, your only goal is to turn that answer into a conversation.
Yep.
Well, then once it's a conversation, then you change your goal right there on the fly while you're talking to somebody. Because now that conversation, you're wanting one thing from that conversation, and it shouldn't be a sale. You're wanting that conversation to turn into an appointment.
Yep.
So you're giving someone just enough of a lure. You're giving them just enough meat. You're giving them just enough to hit that goal. Because if you lay it on somebody really thick, and they just answer the phone, and your only goal is a sale, you're going to lay it on way too thick, their wall's going to go up, and you're not going to make a sale.
Right.
In fact, you won't even have an appointment. They'll shut you down really quick. So when you first call somebody, this is not marketing, this is sales now. This is, you've got to turn that call into a conversation. You got to turn that conversation into an appointment. That appointment is what makes you the sale.
Yep.
So you back into it. And most people don't do that. Most people run towards their income. They have no idea what it takes. They don't do the math. And they work too much. They burn themselves out. And what's funny is most of the really, truly successful people I know back into it.
Yeah. I mean, success takes time.
And if you look at it, they back into it and they look like it's effortless because they don't have to bust their butt all day long.
Yeah.
They've done their thing. Now it's time for them. Now it's time to go to the gym. Now it's time to go to dinner. Watch a movie with the kids. They're not worried about work.
Right.
Because they're working their plan, period. And so it looks like, man, you're making $300,000 a year and you don't look like you're working that hard. But I know the other side of it. I know people making $300,000 a year that never stop working.
Right.
They're divorced. Their kids don't know them.
They can't use their money for...
It's horrible.
Yeah. It,
because they never made a plan.
Right.
There's not something fundamentally wrong with them. They just didn't do the math. They didn't work it right. You know what's funny? My wife, we were putting these lights on the pergola on our back porch. And so she just buys them out of the blue. No research.
The lights?
Totally opposite from me. Yeah. So I'll research things to death, and then I'll order the best thing.
Right. Period.
No. She looked it up. She's like, oh, I like the way those look. Bought them. And then so I saw these boxes when I got home that I'm supposed to install. Or she didn't say that. She's going to install them. But her back kind of hurts. And so I'm like, well, your back's hurting. Why do you think you're going to be installing these? So let me help. Well, so she's out there. No plan. Not a plan. These are, it's a static length. These things are 50 or 60 feet long. And the pergola is a certain dimension, right? Yeah. So the pergola is 10 by 14. And these things are 60 feet long.
Yeah.
Well, if you're angling how you're going to string them, that's not 10 feet. That's probably 11 feet. So you could even kind of estimate, but you still got to do the math.
Right.
And so I kept telling her, you don't know where to start. You don't know where you're going to end up. And we're hammering these big old brads into this wood. And I'm like, we're going to have to pull these brads back out and move this thing around as you figure it out. Well, just do the math. I have a measuring tape. Let's do the math. Anyway, so she got on this kick about teasing me. Oh, let's just do the math. Well, so what happened was she went and got this chalk, you know, the kids' chalk you draw on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
She eyeballs it. She walks over there, draws an X on my flagstone, which, oh, it irked me because I just finished the patio.
You just put it.
So she draws these X's on my flagstone. And our flagstone.
But your flagstone.
My, yeah. So she draws these X's, and then she just sort of lays this thing out all willy-nilly. And she's like, okay, that'll work. I did the math. I'm like, no, you didn't even use a measuring tape. I mean, you don't have any clue. So when it was all done, it worked out to the inch perfect. And that's not good. Because, I mean, you know, it didn't make my point.
Right, exactly. It worked, but it didn't make your point.
It worked, but that's the most important thing. I ended up being wrong. She's always right. And it looks great. But anyway. All right, so what do you think? What else do you want to talk about? What are you doing this weekend?
Not a thing.
Nothing?
Watching football.
You look tired.
I am very tired, yeah.
Why? What did you do? Start gaming last night?
No, I wish. The whole, weather mood just drains me.
So, yeah, it looks like it's 5 a.m. outside. It's dark. And it's not. Right now it's 9:45 and no sun. It's just rainy and nasty outside. So good time to plan though.
Absolutely. These are the best planning days.
Good time to sit down and plan. And I recommend people just take a piece of paper and dream. Think about where you are now and then put that behind you. Say, okay, that's where I am now.
That's a great idea.
What do I want my life to look like next week, next month, in January, in June? and kind of say, you know, be realistic. And, yeah. and that's the easy way to do it. You don't have to memorize these acronyms or anything. Just say, okay, by this time next week, I want to be, you know, rolling out of bed doing 50 crunches.
Right.
Every morning on the weekdays. And then just make that little thing happen. It's kind of like those Facebook ads. I want to decide on and place 2 Facebook ads. I'm going to set it for a $500 budget for the month. And I'm going to do that by this time next week. Set that little goal and do it. If you're moving forward, that's a good thing. And then as far as your effort level goes, if you have leads to call or you've got something measurable, I'd back into it, like yeah. I was saying. Yep. So, hope everybody enjoyed that little tidbit. We'll think about next time.
And we'll see you then.
Have a good weekend.
See ya.